we received the letter from Senator McCaskill's office via fax a couple of days ago, I guess Tuesday, I'm guessing. And today we issued an official response to her letter. So that went out approximately noon today. It's about 3 hours ago.
Can you describe at least the gist of the letter?
Sure. In Senator McCaskill's letter, the general thrust of the letter is that the federal government sent bailout money to the 50 states, and I'm going to presume that the states accepted it for the most part. Obviously, we here in the state of Missouri accepted the bailout money, and we turn around and criticize the federal government for their profligate spending ways, and yet we've taken the money, blah, blah, blah. And generally in my response, I'm just trying to think of the key points, I said, yes, Senator, you are correct. We looked at that. We were going to reject that, and it became apparent from our understanding that if the state of Missouri rejected that money, it would go to other states. And I look at that money as it's a tax revenue, taxes that will be paid by Missourians into the future. So we're saying take Missouri taxpayers' money and spend it or send it to another state. So I didn't think that was the right thing to do. I wish the federal government would have never sent the money to begin with. But if they're going to do that and put those kind of strings such that it goes elsewhere, yes, we will take our taxpayers' money and spend it as best we can to the benefit of the taxpayers. And along those same lines, I clarified that what the federal government, at least I think I did, that the federal government has not helped the states. The 50 states have a systemic budgetary problem. What the federal government has just extended the day of reckoning by a couple of years. That day of reckoning, if nothing changes between now and 1 year from now, this state would be making difficult cuts because, again, this systemic problem. And one of the articles, and I didn't refer to this in the letter, but there was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, I believe September of last year, by Governor Mitch Daniels out of Indiana. He talked about the coming reset in state government. And Governor Daniels' main point was there will need to be a paradigm shift in the way state government operates because of the financial situation we face. We cannot do state government the way we used to in the past. So to me, that says we, the elected officials, need to take a step back and define what are the basic responsibilities of state government. Just as simple as that.
I know when the Nixon administration first proposed, and they proposed to use a lot more of the money last year than they ended up using. And when they made their presentation, wasn't just Linda
Lubring, or
it was Paul Wilson, the judge.
Yes, Paul was. Yeah, Paul was. Yeah, yes. But, yeah, but he's glad he's a judge too. Yeah. So.
But I remember their argument was, we're going to take this money and that'll bridge it until the economy turns around. That'll kind of fill the hole. Economy turns around, the revenues will come in, and this is just to get us back. Right. So basically, you're not buying that argument.
My point, and I fought this fight behind closed doors with fellow Republicans in this building, is there is no sudden miracle that will occur. And we're talking from 2009 to 2010. I say when we come back in 2010, the problem will still be here. We will still have difficult choices, and I won a little bit and I lost a little bit. So that mentality was out there, is if we close our eyes and cross our fingers, a miracle will occur. I don't believe that. For between now and a year from now, I don't believe a miracle is going to occur. I think the state of Missouri faces some difficult financial challenges, and those challenges will have to be addressed 1 year from now. If we do nothing to begin to address the challenges in the current year, and I have tried to address those challenges as we've over the past few years, where we trim the budget year by year so that we don't get to the end and we're off the cliff like a lot of other states. And again, I fought that fight, obviously, with colleagues on the other side of the aisle who don't like that idea, and with the Republicans on my side, that this is the prudent thing to do, and I'm going to fight the fight again this year. We need to get this state ready for some tough decisions next year.
We're going to use, what, 1.3?
In the governor's introduced, I believe it's 1.2 is the in round numbers, it's a 600 plus 300 plus 300. The
so
last 300.
About 1.2.
Right.
After we get done with this, and we've talked about this before, we get done with 1.2, what's going to – will the economy – I think the assumption is the economy is going to turn around a little bit. It will make up any of that 1.2, do you think? Or?
Well, through the end of January, 7 months into the current state fiscal year, we were still negative 12. And as of yesterday or the day before, we're much closer to negative 13. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way the year will end, but the point is we have some tough times. I hope that between now and June 30th of this year that we'll come back, that it's still not negative 13. And this is all in the governor's head, but I hope, for one, that we're not there. I don't see a significant turnaround in the state's economy if for no other reason that when the turnaround does occur, there will be a lag from that turnaround happening and the revenues flowing into the state's coffers. This is not an immediate. If you go out and look in the economy within the manufacturing sector, from what little I've read, the businesses are working overtime, which is good. That means they've drawn their inventories down. They need to produce more inventory. So instead of hiring people, which they're reluctant to do for a lot of different reasons, they're working overtime. That's a good sign. I mean, the spending is there. But as we all know, people who have jobs are probably reluctant to spend that money. They are probably sitting on some cash that 5 years ago they would have been out spending. So there is the potential, but I, for one, do not believe this miracle will occur between today and a year from now, where suddenly we're going to forecast consensus revenue of 20% for 2012. I don't think so. I hope that's the case, but that's just out of the realm of reason.
I think the senator's argument was, while you're criticizing the federal government, if you had not had this money, there would have been much deeper cuts in state services.
And the point that I've made is the federal government, and you could actually have made the point, 2 points. One, the federal government has just exacerbated the problem. They have gone out and borrowed hundreds of billions of dollars that they do not have to provide a temporary fix that has not gone away, to a problem that has not gone away. A year from now, if nothing changes, let's say we have a $900 million hole or 1.2, whatever, the people in this building will have to address that problem. So, as I said, the only thing the federal government has done is delay the day of reckoning. There is a systemic problem in state budgets across the nation. This is not Missouri specific. The federal government cannot solve it. And as I said, by borrowing hundreds of billions that they don't have on top of President Obama's $1 trillion plus, which he's spending that he does not have, there will be an economic impact. And if you read the Wall Street Journal and business type papers, they say it will come in the form of higher interest rates. I mean, you and I remember the days of 12, 13, 15% interest rates. And if that's not a hidden tax on seniors who are on fixed incomes, if we're not concerned about that, we need to think about that, because that is a reality by spending out of control. So we need to do something, and I think the federal government, living within its means, will certainly help. Is it painful to make the decisions? Brent, you know, it is tough to tell anybody we're going to cut your budget. But there is a downside if we do not. I tell folks who visit the office, tough times ahead. The good news, we are not Illinois. And I'm serious about that. Who would want to be in state government or dealing with state government in Illinois? And California is even worse.
One of the things in her letter, in Senator McCaskill's letter, is she asks, if the money were to go away, what cuts would you recommend?
Right.
In your response, did you address that question, and what cuts did you
make? Yes, I did. Not the way she wanted. My response is, last year, and Brent, I would think you'd remember, I extended the offer to Governor Nixon that I, and I would think my Senate counterpart, would be happy to sit down with the governor's office, and we can work on the decisions together to take the partisanship out of this. I mean, clearly, we all understand the dynamic of what happens when cuts are made. I made the offer this year. The offer has not been received. They said, in fact, I never received a response, but thank you, but no, thank you, so that's okay. So at such point in time as we can agree to sit down and work together, I'm more than happy to work with them. But I've made the offer and was told, no, thank you, so I have nothing specific to offer.
You see any merits in the letter that Senator McCaskill sent? Is there any merit in it?
Honestly, just no. The short answer is no. Again, my take on the letter is the senator said, you know, she's made some tough decisions, et cetera, and been the lonely fiscal hawk up there, which I don't recall that specifically. But it's almost like you, the state, should be thanking us for saving you from this. And it's like you haven't saved a thing. You have simply delayed what has to be done. Go back. I'd say go back and do a search. Find Daniel's article on the coming reset in state governments. He is absolutely right. We have to go back and understand what are the priorities of state government. Just like a family or business, what are families' priorities? Is it putting food on the table or going out to the movies? That's a pretty easy one. And that's where we are in government. even if there were an economic turnaround, in fact, we calculated, I think, just what it would take to get back to balance is like a 17% consensus revenue estimate. That is not going to happen. In fact, I believe, and in fact, I said this last October when Nixon made his cuts, he did not cut deep enough. He's going to have to cut an additional to Virginia. Virginia Young said, I think he has to cut $200 million. I was wrong. He's going to have to cut more. Right now at negative 12, he cut to get us to negative 7. He probably has another 100 to 200 million he has to cut above that. I mean, this situation is not getting better. By June 30th of this year, that is exactly right. Now, if he uses the wild card transfer and takes more of that one-time stuff to avoid the pain, he now has an out-of-balance budget for 2011. I mean, this is not a good time to be governor. I will tell you that right now.
Let me play devil's advocate. Covering the House, has been engaged in a lot of resolutions telling Congress what to do. What's so bad about Congress telling the state what to do?
That's not Congress's purview. If you go back and read the Constitution, I happen to have one in my pocket. The Congress powers are limited and enumerated, and you well know at one time Congress was intended to work for the states. I mean, federal senators were, in effect, hired by state legislators. So Congress was not created to dictate to the states. It's actually the other way around. And I think if you were to ask citizens, and you may be referring to my HCR on a balanced budget.
There are quite a few.
If you were to go out and ask the average citizen of this state, do you think the federal government should have a balanced budget amendment? That is not a partisan issue. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Tea Party, you name it, they'll say that makes sense. I mean, what doesn't make sense about a balanced budget?
So it's okay for the state, for Missouri legislature to tell Congress what to do, but
I certainly think so. That's the way it's set up the Constitution. Whenever we change the Constitution, it's the states who have one of the opportunities or methodologies, rather, to change the Constitution. I mean, should I pull out and read Article 5? I mean, you can probably refer to Article 5, what it says as far as whose powers are enumerated and whose are not.
You had mentioned when we talked with you very early on in the budget that you're going to use the 1.2 because if you don't use it, is it a use-it-lose-it right now?
Our understanding is that the money that has been sent to the states or will be sent, because there's still some in the pipeline, we haven't received all of it, of the $900 million, not this additional three, that if we do not use it, our understanding is the federal government will claw that back and has the opportunity to send it somewhere else. So, again, the point is this is Missouri taxpayer money in effect, so we plan to use it for the benefit of Missouri taxpayers as best as we can.
So the extra $300 million that hasn't come through yet, would you advocate accepting that if it is?
If in fact it does happen, again, the premise that I'm operating from is that will be tax revenue that flows into the federal coffers from citizens of this state, so yes. But, again, I would just assume not. All it really does is delay the difficult decisions. And my point is it just gets more difficult. The hole keeps getting deeper.
You'd rather cut it now.
I'd rather cut it now. Yes. I mean, all things being, and we don't know if the $300 million will actually come in. I mean, we're trying to track that as best as we can. It's in one of the bills in Congress, but who knows where that goes. And I've said this before, it never makes sense from a budgeting standpoint to budget money that you don't know if you're even going to receive. Now, the other money we've been promised, so I presume that will happen. That's okay, but here's $300 million. There's no telling what's going to happen. As we all know in this building, what happens to bills? No guarantees whatsoever that money sees the light of day. It's just not prudent budgeting.